Amen. Praise God. We will attempt to continue here. Appreciate it, what Brother Leonard shared. And he came back there to me, and I'm like, I'm going to add something to that, because there's more to say there. Feels like a lot of details. And that's why over the years I keep compiling and putting things together to try to cover everything. Communicating with a young man. So, Dad, when a young man calls or asks for a meeting, has a conversation, and whether we're expecting it, sort of have a sense or have no idea, and we end up with all of those. If we're the priest in our home, praying for our children, laying them before God, there's times that God begins to lay something on Dad's heart. And, you know, it may be that you're like, I felt this call was coming. And you might have a response ready. It may be something you haven't thought about. I've had both. But before the conversation's over, give an expected time frame. And Brother Leonard threw out 2 weeks. And the older I get, the harder time I have with details. But I am recalling there was at least one situation that I told the young man. He's like, listen, so-and-so is happening. This is on a Tuesday by Friday. So it's this being prepared for. So-and-so is happening, and it's going to wipe out the next 10 days. And there's going to be no time for my wife and I to hardly even sit and talk and communicate and even lay it before the Lord. So, you know, after that's over, then we will be able to have time to focus. So we're looking at 3 to 4 weeks. But he understood. You know, communicate. Talk about it. Give an expectation. And that is going to vary. Please, don't put me in a box. I'm not trying to put you in a box. Another one is communicating with a young man, her parents communicating with a young man during courtship. This is something we've learned by experience for us, that things flow better if we have communication and we talk about what's happening and what we're going to be doing and the extras and things that are happening all get talked about. Questions that come up can be discussed. And I'm going to put one more thing out there. And I hope you young men aren't overwhelmed. But if you're looking for blessings, I've got another one for you. You build a relationship with her mom. I'll tell you, that will bless you all your life. Young man, you build a relationship with her mom. You might be saying, I'm not asking to marry her. No, you're not. But you're asking to marry a daughter that she gave her life for. That she's prepared for you. You build a relationship with her mom. So, I wanted to just go back and connect with the original goals that I shared. Number one was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Number two was to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. As parents, that we would get a burden to lead each one of our children into the perfect will of God for their lives. Number four, that each of you young people would get a burden to seek after God, to find fulfillment for that purpose in walking with God, fruitfulness in it. That you would seek maturity in your manners and characters. And number five, that young men and young women would rise up to be godly fathers and mothers with a vision to raise another godly generation. So as I look at what I consider a conclusion here, to a courtship series, I'd like to share a message here on give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. We've heard this before this weekend already, which blessed me. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So when the hearts of the fathers are not turned toward the children, and the hearts of the children are not turned towards the fathers, there's a curse involved. And really we see that all about us. And it's proclaimed as wonderful and good and being able to have what you choose. But there's no blessing. There's no blessing. But when fathers turn their hearts to their children, and children turn their hearts to their fathers, there is a blessing. God wants it that way. I don't have this in my notes, but I'm here with a burden today. Most of this message is directed towards young people. But I'm here with a burden today for all the laid-back dads in this room. I'm here with a burden for you. If you're a laid-back dad, my heart is crying for you. Somehow, laid-back dads need to get up. Somehow, laid-back dads need to take their heart and stir it up. Somehow, laid-back dads need to get involved. Your young people are depending on you. I have no idea who you are. But what I do know about people is we're various people. There's various gifts. And I know you're here. There's no way around it. And my burden is that laid-back dads would turn their hearts to their children. And I'd like to press it home a little bit. If we're laid-back dads, and we're not involved, we're just sort of slouching on the recliner, there's a curse that follows that. There's a curse that follows that. It's not a good thing. Your young people, if that direction for their life, will turn somewhere else. And I have to say for the young person that has a dad that doesn't rise up, pull on him. But maybe go draw somewhere else as well. So you have direction. I can hardly believe I said that. But there are lives at stake. There are lives at stake. It matters. And to me, everything I have poured into this series to communicate God's will, God's way, and the blessing of God that follows on our lives if we will follow these principles is at stake. Because we're people. We're people. Well-meaning young people that don't have good, healthy oversight and guidance will end up making mistakes. And my heart cries that that would not happen. Because they are missed blessings. And therefore the cry that laid-back dads would rise up and turn their hearts to their children. So when we focus on give me thine heart, it is directed and focused towards young people. Proverbs chapter 23. You can turn there if you want to. This message is mostly coming out of Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, starting in verse 22, says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. Then he says, my son, I'd like to say, my child, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. I was talking about physical restraint the other day being another way to reach the will of a child. We developed this thing at our house where a child would be sitting in my lap and we're having this little scene. And they're sitting in my lap and I would put my hand in their lap and say, give me your hands. And they learned and they knew when they put their hands in my hand, they have just made a decision that they're going to give up their will. I'm saying we need to make a decision to yield under authority and give our hearts to our dad. To our dad. To our mom. Specifically in this area of a life companion. Specifically in this area of a life companion. I would like to draw an illustration here on the board. Brother Dale drew one up here of an umbrella the other day, and I'm going to attempt one myself. So yes, God is up here. Christ. In the umbrella, I'm going to write parental authority. And with this, I have mine drawn with influences coming down from the top. I appreciated what Brother Dale shared the other day, and it's caused me to do some thinking. On this side, I'm going to write Satan and the world. Over here, I'm going to write self and independence. And here under the umbrella, I'm going to write protection and safety. I think we're very used to an illustration very similar to this. For many of us, we have grown up in a Christian home where we've had a lot of protection. We've been guided, we've been narrowed, we've been directed, we've been taught. And many of the influences out there, we've been protected from. The day comes when we need to make a decision that I am going to be under this authority intentionally. Intentionally. Not just growing up with this protection, but I need to be here intentionally. Now I'd like us to consider what happens? So it is true, we will face temptation. So when I make a decision that I am going to be under authority, under my parental authority, I choose that. I am choosing that I'm going to look to my authorities to help me make my decisions. When I decide I'm going to follow myself, or I'm going to be independent, I'm making my decisions on my own. And let me just say, temptation will come. It will come. The question is, am I going to independently make my own decision? Or am I going to go to my authorities to help me make that decision? Now, I'd like us to consider Genesis chapter 3. Eve faced temptation in Genesis chapter 3. What did she do? What seemed good to her. She made her own decision. How did that turn out? Tragically. So now let's just think, if Eve would have listened to the serpent and said, well, you know, this is something I have to talk to my husband about. And they sit down as a couple, and very clearly, Satan, the serpent, is saying things that are different from what God is saying. What would have happened if they'd have gone and said, well, God, when God comes in the cool of the day, why don't we bring this to Him and see how this turns out? It would have turned out completely different, wouldn't it? So when we choose to be under authority, I lay down my independence. I lay down myself. I choose make my own decision to be under authority, that means I am going to go to my authorities to make decisions even when temptation comes. You take the example of Joseph. Here's a young man that was in a very unfortunate situation. It wasn't fair. He had turned his heart to be under dad, and he was walking with the Lord, and yet life came like it did. The day came that Joseph was sorely and severely tempted. What was his response? How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It wasn't a discussion what was right or wrong. That was settled for him. And he went back to what God had said. We need that commitment to where we go by what God says. The rest is not open for discussion. But when we're under authority, I think that's the same thing Brother Dale was saying the other day. It was just a little different explanation, and I said, Lord, I've got to sort this through. I'm headed for this illustration. And I added some things. That happens every time you share something like this. You keep adding things, but then the danger is it gets longer and longer and longer. But I felt this illustration is important for us to understand. We're at a point at the end of the courtship series, and the title is, Give Me Thine Heart. We're looking for a decision that says this thing about a life companion, I am intentionally taking my independent decision about this and putting myself under protection of my parents. And young ladies, this can be a real place of freedom for you where you can be at rest. And you don't need to be fretting about what young man may be coming to ask you. And if one does, you go see my dad. You don't need to be under that pressure. You don't need to be under that pressure. You can be in a safe place of rest. So I just have several points that I'd like to look at going down through here. Number one is hearken unto thy Father. So as we look at giving our heart, give me thine heart means I'm going to hearken unto my Father. Hearken means to hear intelligently. Hearken means I am going to be listening with my heart, with my full attention. I'm going to be attentive. It matters to me what Daddy says. It matters to me. The heart is that deep inner us. We're going to take that heart and we're going to intentionally hearken to my Father. Give me thine heart. Hearken. Hear. Hear. Number two. Same verse says, despise not thy mother when she is old. Despise means to disrespect. If I'm going to give my heart to my parents, then I am going to respect my mother. I'm going to respect my mother. I'm not going to despise her. So I'm going to just ask the question, what is your attitude towards your mother? What is your attitude towards your mother? Is she dumb? Is she slow? Is she old-fashioned? And behind the times. Do you look down on her? Or disregard her? Young people, your mother is the one that bore you before you were born. She's the one that travailed in birth for you. She gave of herself her own body for your development and bringing forth to life, and then she tenderly nurtured you. And I'm not Mr. Science. I'll just tell you, I'm just here with experience. But what I see happening is a mother bearing children, child after child after child. There is something she is contributing with her body. Your mother is the weaker vessel between your father and your mother. She's the weaker vessel. And she's giving of herself. And she ends up weaker, sometimes even having health problems from everything she's contributed into her children. Literally, physically. Are you going to despise her? What kind of heart would do that? Truth is, we love our lives to our moms. Maybe she's a little slower. But why is that? Because of what she's given us. Maybe she hasn't kept up with the times. Why is that? Because she's been a housekeeper. She's been there nurturing the family. She's been there giving herself. Our hearts need to overflow with gratitude, with appreciation, with love, with respect. And young people, there is this thing within a woman's heart. I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman's intuition. So I'm not going to promote that should lead the way in the family, but there is a thing there. If mom's not at rest, there are things we just shouldn't go forward on unless mom's at rest. Can't be explained. It's a challenge for us dads because we're to lead them and guide them. And there are times they have an intuition that can't be explained, and we go on and do it anyway. We find out why. Lord help us. I don't have a recipe through that one. Mom can end up being more fearful, and it's not always based on something that we really should go by. Dad needs to be able to sense how to lead forward in that. And that means we need to walk with God. We need to walk with God. But children need to respect your mother. And when I'm promoting give me thine heart, it includes respecting my mother. By the truth, number three. By the truth. You know, I just gave the example of Joseph. Joseph bought the truth. Joseph embraced the truth. You've heard lots of truth here this weekend, and by saying, I will give my heart to it, says, I will buy it. I will receive it. I will take that for me. We can put it out here and be skeptical. We can begin to reason and labor over it. When we buy the truth, we say, well, if God said so, I'll receive it. I'll receive it. Buy the truth and sell it not. To sell, literally as merchandise, this is out of Strong's, a daughter in marriage, to sell. Don't sell the truth. To surrender. Don't surrender to what the adversary has to say. I'm going to buy the truth. That means I'm going to purchase it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it. What is true, the Word of God, and trustworthy. Number four, buy wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom. Buy wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from the fear of God. And the fear of God believes that God will do what He said. God will do what He said. In our world around us, in our communities, the fear of God is almost not findable. We choose to buy wisdom. And if we're going to have wisdom, we're going to have the fear of God. We're going to be wise. We're going to hear what God has to say. We're going to hear the Word of God. And we're going to order our lives by it. Joseph, very wisely, feared God. He bought the truth, and he's not going to sell it. Be wise in mind, in word, in act. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction. Buy instruction. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of buying instruction. But I think of verses like, my son, hear my commandment. My son, hear the instruction of your father.
by instruction. Take it for your own. When you give your heart under your authorities, it means to receive their instruction, to receive their guidance. Receive warning, instruction, also to receive restraint and reprove, chastisement. These are words in the definitions in Strong's. We are willing to receive them. They may not feel good to my flesh, to myself over here. They may not feel good, but I am choosing to be under authority and receive instruction. I'm going to buy instruction. I'm going to own it. I'm going to take it to myself. That's what it means in giving your heart to your authorities. Number six, by understanding. By understanding. By the truth, and sell it not. Also by wisdom, by instruction, by understanding. Being able to understand. Young people at times say, well, I understand. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's probably true. And yet, we seem to think we have all the answers when we're young. There's a collision course there. Well, what the old people are saying doesn't make sense to me, but I have all the answers. When we give a heart, we hear the instruction of our Father. We despise not our mother. We buy the truth. We buy wisdom. We buy instruction. And you know what we get? We get understanding. We get understanding. We don't get to buy understanding if we don't do the rest. We get understanding. Understanding is just simply understanding, being able to connect with it. But if I'm over here, I'm wanting to be independent, make my own decisions that seem good to me, I am not going to be able to understand what's going on over here under spiritual authority. It is going to look like this radical arrangement that doesn't make any sense. And I'm over here deciding, you know, I can handle this better on my own. It didn't turn out well for Eve. And I think it will not turn out well for us. Number seven, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart, my son. Give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. Heart. Can mean feelings, will, intellect. The very center of anything. So we're going to the center of the heart of it. So he's saying, my son, hear my instruction. The instruction of a father. Despise not your mother. Give me your heart. Bring your will. Bring your feelings. Bring your intellect. Let's go to the center of all of that and yield it. Give it. Actually make a choice. I'm going to be under my parental authority. Like the little child at 2 and 3 and 4 years old sitting on daddy's lap. Can you give me your hands? And they sit there. I have a decision. And they also know they have learned well what takes place if they can't do that. And their mind is evaluating all the consequences. And a decision is made. And here comes the hands. And it's amazing how the very attitude of the child just changes instantaneously when those hands are put in daddy's hands, because a decision is made. They're not very old, but a decision is made. And I'm presenting to us here today, we need to make a decision specifically to be under our parents' authority in this matter of a life companion. It's not child's play. It's very serious. It's very important. We need to voluntarily give our hearts to our parents in this area. Give your heart to your father. Make a commitment to not let your emotions go to anyone until dad approves. We're going to the heart of the matter here. That means those secret little things that we cultivate in our hearts, that secret note or look or glance or conversation, we're going to avoid them. We're just not going to go there. Because that causes emotions to start rising up. Say it verbally. Say it verbally. Write it in a letter. And you don't sit there and look down and say, Dad, I'm going to give you my heart in this matter of companion for life. No, 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 no. Look at each other. Communicate with each other. Talk to each other. This is a heart matter. We're bringing a heart with us in this matter. The Lord Jesus, with outstretched hand, says, give me thine heart. If we have not yielded and surrendered our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I haven't preached about that here, but that's first. If you want to do the other and you haven't done that, I'm not going to hold you back. But more importantly is that we give our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm viewing this as another area that we need to make a decision. Say it verbally. Write it in a letter. Communicate effectively in this matter. You know, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. I would like to give an altar call here today. It's 10 after 12. I don't know if we can just take the time. And I'd like to put two things out there. The first one is fathers to turn their hearts to their children. And I would like to especially appeal to you if you're a laid-back dad. Make a decision today. Your children depend on you. You know, some of us are strong. We have to deal with not being too strong, not being overbearing. It becomes a real thing in our lives. I'm one of those. Some of us are laid back. And in the same way, we need to deal with needing to step up, take responsibility, be there for our children. So number one, the altar call is for dads to just come up front and make a commitment. I am turning my heart to my children. I'm going to be there. Maybe you see where you failed. Maybe in your heart you're saying, I can't do this. This is beyond me. Well, yeah, that's true. Do you know that I struggle getting up here? What shall I do about it? Not come up here? No, I need to come up here. So I say, God, help me. Lord, help me. And that's what we need to do as dads. If we are laid back dad and we don't see how we can do all this, Lord, help me. And God is faithful. Number two is turning the hearts of the children to their fathers. And I'm going to present this as you may be here having resisted the authority of your parents and you need to make this decision. The altar call is for you to make that decision. You may be here, you're under the authority of your parents, but you've never yielded or made a decision, I'm going to be under my parents in this matter concerning a life companion. The altar call is for you. I'm not viewing this as a high-level revival meeting altar call. But decisions that are made, this is where I'm going on this matter. This is where I'm going on this matter. And don't do it lightly. If you feel a reserve, you're not sure, count the cost. I'm convinced on it. But if that's where you're at, obviously you're not. I'd like to see you make a commitment that you're at peace. This is what I'm choosing to do. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm not sure where the song leader is. If we could have just a verse of song prepared. Let's all rise for prayer. Dear God or Father, as we come to the close of this service and we look at making a commitment and a decision concerning our lives as young people, concerning marriage, life companion, our future, pray for each one of these dear young people that you would bless them with a freedom to be fully yielded. Lord, especially pray for each one that has not made this decision today specifically, that you would bless them with the freedom to do that. Especially pray for each one that is here and has struggled with being under their parents' authority, that you would just come by your Spirit and woo them today and give them the grace to bring their heart and to just yield it and to surrender. Pray also for us laid-back dads. We have a hard time stepping up and taking our responsibility. Would you help us today, God, to make the decision to move ahead by your grace with your help, Lord. Bless our time together here of making decisions and commitments. We just pray, dear God, you would bless us as a congregation, as a group here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.